The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from BP, which believes that it's time to think outside the barrel by developing new sources of alternative energy. More information at bp.com/US.
I'm Samantha Brown. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast, curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. This week, another piece from Stories from the Heart of the Land, the public radio series about the connection between people and the natural world. This piece is from the series' fifth hour, Dreams of Paradise, stories of people living out dreams of paradise and waking up in a nightmare. Here's series host Jay Allison to tell you more.
Our first story is set in Hawaii. The travel brochures say the floral air energizes you, the breathtaking natural beauty renews you. But what is paradise without trouble? We start with Kenny Parrish, who is one of those who fell under the island's spell. He visited Hawaii in 1983 and was hooked. It took him 20 years, though, to make the move. He was working as a maintenance guy in California and dreaming of his future home.
What I did was, when everybody was going out to the river and having a good time on weekends, I went to the local store and I found a really cheap beer to help save my pennies. I would have two bottles for Friday night, two bottles for Saturday, and two bottles for Sunday. And I took some posters that I got from the local grocery store. They were Dole pineapple posters with little Hawaiian kids. Put straw mats down on the floor for a little Hawaiian flair. Tried using that to keep my sanity and to keep myself focused on why I was punishing myself so much. That went on for about 7 or 8 years.
Where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top.
Now, Kenny is building a bed and breakfast in Kapoho on the Big Island.
As we're standing here, we've got a nice trade winds are blowing about 4 or 5 miles an hour, and you look at this beautiful powder blue sky and these beautiful, beautiful clouds we have here that just dot the sky. I'm in love with this land here. I'm absolutely in love with this place. I love it.
But all Edens come with serpents, or in this case, amphibians. The koki. It's a small tree frog, the national symbol of Puerto Rico, beloved in folklore and song.
Everything after sundown, as the yellow moon is rising, on our Caribbean island, home and most insistent sound.
But on the Big Island of Hawaii, it's an invasive species, with no natural predator, and kokis are proliferating like crazy. Kenny Parrish and everyone else in this story, produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister, are trying to figure out what to do about them.
You know, it was pretty quiet around here 10 years ago, 5 years ago even.
When the kokis first came, we would hear one and then a couple more, and then it was maybe 20.
I started out by just, when I heard one, I'd go get it and kill it, and a couple of months later, I'd hear a couple more, and I'd go get them.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it was hundreds and thousands.
It was overwhelming. The whole thing encroached on us.
Now there's just a gentle roar that goes all the time, pretty much. Just this little roar.
How did I get here? Did someone bring me here? What did I do?
We believe that the frogs came to Hawaii as part of the nursery trade, either directly from Puerto Rico or perhaps from Florida, where the koki frog has also been introduced from Puerto Rico.
Lost my luggage and I lost my way. Hidden planet, be a stowaway. Is it my imagination? No, this is one medication.
The call that you hear, the call, is given by the males, and that's to attract females.
Koki, 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 koki. As soon as it's 5 o'clock, you cannot hear anything except that they're very noisy.
Koki, 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 koki.
That sound, that terrible sound.
Koki.
To me, it's like a plague, you know, of locusts or something of biblical proportions.
And I have to wear ear muffs at night because I can't sleep.
Lost my luggage and I lost my way. One-way ticket and I'm here to stay.
find sound pressure levels of the Koki chorus upwards of 73 decibels.
Which is harmful to the human ear, which is also the same decibel as a chainsaw.
The Koki is a higher decibel than that of the alarm clock.
Or weed whacker.
Like being at a loud party. You have to raise your voice to have a conversation.
So if you have a million of these screaming Koki outside your bedroom window at night, do not expect to get any sleep.
Help me. This wasn't my idea. Nobody wants me here. I'm so alone.
When we capture frogs, they'll get the gentle touch. They'll find themselves squashed against a tree.
I put the frog in a bucket of hot water over 113 degrees, and it succumbed to the heat.
Or for the people that are a little squeamish about that, we put them in a plastic bag and put them into the freezer compartment of our freezer, and that puts them into deep hibernation.
We need to use anesthetics or pithing, you know, with a needle suddenly destroying the brain and the spinal cord.
We have used empty bottle of pine saw. Sorry, but we suffocate them. 1 minute, they're gone.
It's funny, when I saw my first Koki in person in my place in Kalapana, my daughter was horrified because we practice nonviolence at home, and I suddenly started to stomp on it, and they're very tough and leathery, and the soil was soft, and I couldn't make a dent on that frog, and I had to turn into quite an ugly beast before I finally ground it to a pulp.
Is this no hallucination? No, it's just your bad vacation.
What we'll do is, with headlamps, try to search the ground, the surfaces of the leaves, up on the trunks, and catch everything we can. My name is Dr. William Mounts. I'm a professor of biology at UH Hilo, and we're sitting in Lava Tree State Monument on the Big Island of Hawaii. This is a real hot spot for the invasive Koki frog here.
We've walked this area extensively. There are no big body-swallowing cracks here.
Part of my research is to try to discover what are its effects on native forest ecosystems, because here we've got four frogs per square meter.
Caught one.
And so these frogs are going to be consuming huge numbers of insects and spiders and other arthropods.
Height is 95.
And potentially could disrupt the food web of Hawaiian forests.
Mass, 1.1.
They also appear to be able to spread fairly rapidly.
My name is Roy Lanham. I live in Pahoa, Puna, Hawaii. Work at Ning's Thai Cuisine as a waiter. You know, we have an open-air restaurant here, so they come hopping along the sidewalk looking for any place that has a little bit of water. So when they go into our plants, even the fake ones, climb up there and chirp right in the customer's ears.
Well, Ning's is like the best Thai restaurant on the Big Island, but man, the racket is unbelievable when you're sitting there. I mean, forget about having a romantic meal and whispering sweet nothings to someone, because you're going to have to shout those sweet nothings.
We had one in here for several months. I could not find it, you know. And you think, you know, it's that loud. It's easy to find, right? And I might shake the plant, and I could never find it, you know. It's just amazing. Finally, I think it must have gone out, because I stopped hearing that either without or one of the girls in back saw it and stepped on it. So they step on anything that moves in the restaurant. You know, you've got to keep that stuff under control.
My name's Kenny Parrish. We're in the area called Kapoho on the Big Island. And I'm 3/4 mile from the ocean, about 20 miles from the volcano of Kilauea. What we have here, I'm building a bed and breakfast, and the idea is the old plantation housing. That's a Koki. I've got some right over there by that banana tree. He taunts me at night, wakes me up at night. The way I've set up my property, I think I can pretty well keep them out as long as I have access to the chemicals needed and the equipment needed. If I don't have access to this, I will not have a business, and it's time to just pack up and move. But I don't know where I'm going to go to. That would be the hard part.
Nobody before has ever had to deal with a plague of frogs and try to get technical tools to work with it. It's a brand new problem.
We've got a 200-gallon water tank here. We're going to mix up a solution of hydrated lime.
We have some rather crude tools in terms of these sprays, citric acid and hydrated lime. Those simply aren't good for combating large populations of frogs.
We're just spraying the whole forest, and when I'll spray on both sides of the tree, because we've actually had kokis look at us, and they'll run around the other side of the tree, and you go to spray them, you spray the tree, and they look back at you like, you missed me. And we've played these games with these frogs. We've got, as locals call it, pukas around here, which is pukas, a large hole from the volcano. And we found pukas that are 30, 40 feet deep. And you're walking through brush that is head high. Well, I'm 60 years old doing this. Don't want to be doing this when I get older. Don't want to be doing this tonight. But if we get more community involvement, this will help everybody. We can solve this problem. I'm just absolutely sure of it. Two chickens in every pot, well, we need two sprayers in every lot.
My name is Carol Curtis Weldon, and my husband and I live on the Hamakua Coast, which is located north of Hilo. It's wonderful to be able to go to bed at night and hear the wind in the trees and hear the rain on the roof. We do live here on the ocean, and 4 months out of the year we have whales at the base of our cliff edge, and we hear them talking to each other. If the koki frog was on our property, the koki frog would mask the sounds.
My name is Nancy Molitor, and I live in Upper Kaiwiki near Hilo, Hawaii. I run a bed and breakfast called Seascape Gardens B&B. This is a welcome package, you know, with shampoo and all that. And this is a pack of earplugs, and there's a little plastic frog the size of a koki that sits on there. When I first arrived here, I could hear koki in the distance, several acres away. And I immediately would go out at night with my dog, and I'd hand catch them.
I've actually carried a machete with me in order to fight off wild pigs should they approach me while I was sitting waiting for a frog to croak so that I could find him and pick him up.
About 3 years ago, the county offered 200-gallon sprayers. So I'm 71 now. That was a few years ago. So like I weigh 120 pounds at the most, so to haul that big fire hose, I felt like I might go up in the air too.
I have put in anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week working fighting the koki frog, and this is all volunteer work.
And then I would find out just within 2 weeks, it was just all coming back again. I just said, I surrender. They win.
My husband eats out of a crock pot 4 or 5 nights out of the week. I said, I want to go home. I want to spend time with my husband. I'm retired. I want to start acting like, you know, we can live in our life and live in our little piece of paradise.
Okay, I'm going to read for you my op-ed piece in the Honolulu Star Bulletin that I wrote. Preposterously and insultingly, the Big Island government expects residents to perform the impossibly gargantuan travail of eliminating what could and should have been prevented by government to begin with. My name is Richard Sullivan, and I live in Hawaiian Paradise Park, which is a very large subdivision in the town of Keau on the Big Island of Hawaii. Expecting single mothers, kids, the elderly, the sick, and the infirm to skulk around in the middle of nowhere in the black of night with giant sprayers lashed to their backs on an island that's riddled with gaping hidden crevices is simply ludicrous.
Aloha, my name is William Kinoy. I'm an executive assistant to Mayor Harry Kim, County of Hawaii. I think we're asking the citizens to meet us halfway, because if people think they're going to call 1-800-NO-KOKI and government has 50 people on staff, you know, and we got $20 million, you just call 1-800-NO-KOKI and there's a koki squad at your house this evening. It's unrealistic. It's not going to happen. You got termites at your house, you don't call government, right? You got any other bugs that, right? But at the same time, government cannot sit back and say it's not our jurisdiction. So what we said is, hey, community, how about meeting us? We do have resources to buy sprayers. You know, we do have resources to buy chemicals. We do have resources to give you.
We had done some spraying. It seemed like we're pretty obviously in the wrong spot. There was a fairly large coke infestation. So went through the bush. It was a fairly thick area. And I was looking at in this tree that had large leaves. So I lifted up the pile of leaves, reached in and hand captured this one.
I got one.
Then I brought that one out to the road.
That's a cookie.
Went to exterminate it, so I tried stepping on him several times.
I stepped on him once. Did you hear him pop?
It's the sound of lungs popping. And they are very, very resilient. Probably took maybe five times of stepping on him to make me feel better so he wouldn't croak anymore. I don't think the cookie felt the same way, but he's not suffering.
I didn't plan on this. I didn't ask for this. This is my bad vacation.
My name is Sydney Singer. I'm a medical anthropologist professionally, and I am a conservationist and animal lover. So we think of this as our symphony of nature. Every night we go to sleep with this, and it's just phenomenal. This is a sanctuary. We're officially calling this a Hawaiian Koki Frog Sanctuary and Nature Preserve, and it's very Hawaiian to have a sanctuary. In Hawaiian, it was called a pu'u honua, and that was a place of refuge. If there was a condemned criminal, and he was able to get to the place of refuge, they were spared. So we consider this a place of refuge for the kokis. The condemned criminal, you know why he's condemned? Because he chirps. And some people just don't like the sound of chirping frogs. I think that's insane.
I am Catherine Grout. I was born and raised in Hawaii. I'm 58. I've lived here a long time. The koki is here to stay. I don't see how it can be eradicated entirely. Maybe the numbers could be controlled, but the kids that are growing up now will just grow up with kokis being the reality of the background sound of their lives. And those of us that have been around long enough to remember when they weren't, that'll just be the past.
So why don't we just not go through it all? Not waste the millions that they've already spent on this, and they want to spend millions more just controlling the numbers of frogs, spraying the forest with acid, indiscriminately killing whatever they can because they are angry at the frogs.
You know, when you work with government and you work on securing resources to address important issues, it's always an issue of priorities. You know, you're going to grab more money for koki frogs? Okay. Where are you taking it from? Do I take it from the education system? Do I take it away from children and families and social services? Do I take it from the Department of Health? You tell me where that extra money comes from. It's a real challenge.
I'm Roger Hani, and I've lived here in Orchid Land Estates for about 25 years now. I think it all has to do with the spin. Everybody's kind of freaking out on these things, but it's not that obnoxious of a sound. It's actually rather pleasant.
I'm Sarah Warner, and I'm Roger's wife. There certainly could be marketing possibilities for the koki frog, all kinds of little koki souvenirs. I mean, koki pillows, koki curtains.
Bill it as, you know, come to Hawaii and hear the singing frogs.
Sing, koki, sing!
In Puerto Rico, the frog is loved. It is adored. It is the national animal. In Hawaii, they're being reviled as a plague of monsters. So we have the same frog, two different cultures. So clearly, Hawaii doesn't have a frog problem. It has an attitude problem.
Everything after sundown, as the yellow moon is rising, on our Caribbean island, home and most insistent sound.
That piece was produced for Atlantic Public Media's series, Stories from the Heart of the Land. To see pictures of kokis and to find out more on this series or the podcast, visit nature.org/stories. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. Send us your thoughts and feedback to podcast@tnc.org and join me next week when we encounter some beavers in the Berkshires. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.